friend. Hey, mate. Sup, guy? You there? I'm talking to you. Are you looking for a way to have fun that's safe and socially responsible? Of course you are! Just because we're all shut in to avoid spreading a deadly pandemic doesn't mean we can't have a good time doing it! Why not spend an evening with Chicago's most trusted best liqueur, Jepson's Malort? Its unusual, full-bodied flavor is a taste savored by two-fisted drinkers. So, if you think your two fists are strong enough, why not grab a shot of the only booze ballsy enough to let me rip on it and powerful enough to keep even the most maskless troublemaker a good 6 feet away? So, if the lockdown's got you down, why not have a shot of Malort? If you're going insane, self-isolation is lame, just do a shot of Malort. Malort, aiding in social distancing since the 1930s and proud sponsor of Chad the Podcast, which is what you're listening to right now. It's the ghost wonderful time of the Yeah! Halloween is upon us, my fine freaky friends, and it's on a Saturday, and it's a full moon. So this is like legit Halloween, which means you just gotta be real careful when you're doing stuff, because, I mean, this is like, they're crossing over, and there's ghosts everywhere. And I am not a fan of ghosts. I love me a good monster. I could dig with some vamps. I can hang with zombies. I feel like they would just get annoying after a while. But that is a nay on the specters. I don't dig. I'm also chicken shit when it comes to haunted houses and things. So I don't do it. I'm tiny. I'm quite wee, and therefore easily snackable. And I do not trust that I will get out of those alive. So any scary situation live in my face is frightening to me on a visceral level. I don't think a lot of people understand. I'm basically a chicken wing. And who would say no to a free chicken wing? I mean, and one that is as tasty as me. So I try to avoid all dangerous, jumpy situations. Thankfully, a lot of these fiends of mine are putting out some electronic spookies for the screams in so I can enjoy it without putting myself in danger. First off, all of the links I'm going to talk about are down below, so scroll down. While you're down there, please rate and reboo, because that's how the internet knows we're here. So take a minute, give me some stars, and talk about it. Let me know what you think. We'll change it up. I listen to everybody. First off, we got our old pals, Noah Gray and Lily Rascal of the Abhorrent Cinema. They're going to be watching Suspiria on Vimeo until November 5th, 2020. So check that out. You might see a certain friend of yours who might be of the bird persuasion as their new librarian. Yeah, it's me. So, you know, come support. Check that out. That's them watching the Dario Argento film Suspiria and commenting, of course. And then I will give you a little background on some history. And then if you want to get serious, you got a good palio of mine and of the show, Ike Holter, award-winning playwright. Yeah, we're getting cultural here. Wrote a piece a few years back called Put Your House in Order, which is V Spooky. And he has adapted it into a audio drama. And that's going until November 2nd. That one's for experts, though. Don't jump into that one thinking we're going to have, you know, we're going to have some kitschy good times. This one's going to be like, oh, no, you came to get spooked. So get ready for that. And I'll probably avoid that, but you should jump in. I won't do it. I get it. I love it. I love me, you know, a kitschy, dumb horror movie, but I can't do the serious stuff. I saw that It movie, and then I had to see the sequel because I saw the first one. And it was hard enough. But other than that, no, I'm not going to, I say nay, okay? You got to give me at least a good time while I'm in there, because I can't handle the disappointing sadness at the end of some of the, like, award-winning horror movies. And I certainly can't handle getting attacked from all ends at a live haunted house experience. Now, granted, we're not doing that in the lockdown, because that would be unsafe, but those people still exist. They don't just disappear and go underground in between the seasons. No, there are people like you that exist as, you know, they work in the industry. And perhaps the most legendary, especially in the Midwestern area, is none other than the name spoken in whispers, because you don't want her to just pop out of nowhere, Beetlejuice style, Bonnie Bones. For those of you who don't know, Bonnie Bones has been working in the haunt industry for longer than most of you even knew there was a haunt industry. She's a makeup artist, she's an actor, she's a gore specialist, and one of my besties. So what have I been doing in the lockdown? I've been checking in on my besties. And I figured it was the perfect time of the year to check in on Bonnie B and see how she was doing, what with things being kind of shut down. And we got to talking about some spooky shit, so turn on the lights for this one, because it's about to get real weird. But that's what you're here for, isn't it?
I can't promise that you like me, because it could go downhill. Promise that you love me, but you probably will.
First of all, I love your hair. I'm just gonna put that out there. as someone who's rocking pink, it's nice to see. What is that? Is that aqua marine? I can't really tell because it's
something like that. There's a couple colors of blue in there. You know me. I always gotta have a couple colors going on.
You haven't really been working in the haunt world right now because everything's been shut down, right?
Yes and no. I'm not working any haunt shows. That is correct. My personal choice is to not be working any show productions right now. I'm also not walking through any indoor shows right now. But I still work with the company I've been with for the past couple years, Midnight Terror. And we had already broke ground on some new set designs and stuff before the world shut down. So I was still working over the summer doing like scenic painting, set deck, prop work. I worked with them on making a bunch of new masks and prosthetics for the season.
Can you tell us at all, without giving any secrets away, which is exactly what I'm asking you to do. Can you tell us what some of the concepts were that you were going to do this year that you can't do, or are you just like sworn to secrecy and they'll hunt you down?
Well, one of the new big builds that we put in, new rooms, I should say, is my favorite because I love everything gross.
Yep.
And we put in a big new two-story bath and shower room.
Oh, God. This is going to be gross. This is going to be disgusting, isn't it?
It is. That's why I love it. but it's not like the atypical. We actually laid down real tile and put in some real plumbing. And it comes up about two stories up, almost like a big domed cathedral ceiling over you. And there's lots of toilets, there's some stand-up showers and sinks. The decor is very, very moldy. Lots of black mold.
great, because that's what I need to be reminded of, is my seasonal allergies. That truly is terrifying. So it's like a moldy bathroom. What's the like vibe? It's just, are you doing like mold monsters? Is it like somebody comes out and is like, my sinuses are rupturing?
You know, we like to bring home the real life horror, not just the fantasy horror. So the whole show, because they are doing a very limited and different kind of show this year. So, the actor count is very low, but there is one actor in the room who is a very gaunt fellow, and he is in a like kind of a Long John onesie.
Great. It's already perfect. I'm already.
And I've not gotten to see his performance because, like I said, I'm not working in the show, but I am familiar with the actor, and he has very long, stringy hair, and I think he's going to look very wet and moldy and gross.
Great. Oh, that's just awesome.
The room has a very damp vibe. There are some scents going on in there, so some strong mildew smells. And like I said, there is functional running water. So there's some running toilets. There's some drippy sinks and showers.
I was going to ask, like, people go in there, you're like, go wash your hands.
I mean, I would be lying if I said we didn't make a lot of jokes about things like that during the build season. but I mean, I think as a whole, it's kind of like a taboo subject in the haunt world right now. There's been a lot of discussion about things like that in panels and boards, pages that I'm in, where, you know, like, do we make, like, illness jokes? Do we not make illness jokes? What's appropriate? What's inappropriate? And surprisingly, the mass majority of people agree that it's not appropriate to make any jokes about things like that right now. So people in hazmat suits or people making coughing jokes or...
Right, because, like, you know, I feel like if I were to go... Because, like, I don't know if you know anything about me, but I am chicken shit when it comes to my houses. And so I very rarely attend, but I feel like I would be even more... I would feel like it would ruin the fun for me. Like, I'd be like, ah, so spooky. Aw, now it's real.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I mean, to like, take away from the comical aspect of it for a moment... you know, in the haunted house industry, we like to think of ourselves as being a release, an escape. You know, these are scary environments that are manufactured, and I think people enjoy it so much because it is an escape from the real world. You know, yes, it's scary, but it's a controlled scary, and you know, and it's like you get to walk through your own little nightmare, but at the end of it, you get to exit the nightmare and you're safe and you're like, oh, that was fun. You know, that was crazy. So when it comes to like real life scary things, we tend to actually shy away from them because we don't want to kill the fun or kill the fantasy.
That's the line that you walk, right? Because
it is.
It is.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, those standards have certainly changed. You know, there's a lot of bits and things that were used back then that I look at now. It was very stereotypical and classic and expected in haunt shows in the 90s and the early 2000s to have like female victims. It was very run of the mill, you know, to have some big guy who was going to strong arm some woman and throw her around and you know, and she's gonna scream and cry, and you know, and that was like, I mean, when I first came into the industry as a kid, women were slated, especially young, we were slated for two roles. You got two options: either you were a creepy little girl or you were a victim.
Oh yeah. So when you got started, like, how did you get into this vibe? Because I'm assuming that you were a very good, upstanding, evangelical Mormon Christian lady.
That just, oh, you betcha.
From Wisconsin. I don't know. What, how did you get involved? Yeah.
It sounds ridiculous, but it's completely 100% true. When I was 14 years old, like brand new freshman coming into high school, it would have been like the very beginning of the year. Over that summer, I had made friends with a girl named Callie Upchurch, and
already sounds like a horror film. Go on.
And rolling, you know, I had just at that point in my life started really getting into my like punk and metal phase, and
right,
so you know, had to have the raccoon black eyes all the time and all the metal jewelry and the band t-shirts, and
yeah,
phase, literally
quotation marks.
Quote. So she literally just came up to me one day and was like, you know, you look like you're into a lot of weird shit. You want to work in a haunted house?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yes, I do. I didn't know I could do that. I could do that? Like, yeah. Her and her older brother worked for a place called CEP Haunted Manor that was in Countryside, Illinois. It was a little, like, community-run, nonprofit haunted house, mostly, you know, mostly full of kids under the age of 16. And so I ended up working that was it. Like, I just never really looked back. I did that for 1 year and I was like, this is the fucking coolest shit ever. And we worked there until 2000 when her older brother opened his own pro show called 11th Hour.
Have you always been an Illinoisan?
No. When I was little, we moved around a lot. And then I lived in California for a while. And then I lived in Toronto for a while. But for the most part, I am a Chicago native.
Got it. So you go in, you're starting to do the thing, and at the time, you were either, like, because you went in as a makeup person, or did you go in as a character, which I believe...
I started as an actor.
Okay. What got you into the profession that you enjoy now, which is making everything freaky and...
making all the spooky dookies? I encountered my first professional makeup artist through...
Because that's what you do in the horror industry. You don't meet people, you encounter them.
Yes. I wouldn't know how else to say it. it was working for 11th Hour. So like I said, like in 2000, Jim opened up his show and a crew of us, you know, I was part of that crew that started up with that show. And back then, I mean, there was only, like, the only pro shows were, like, Hades Haunted House and The Asylum in Berwyn, and you had, I think, you know, like, Reaper's Realm that was right over by the Indiana border. And he started 11th Hour, and another group of guys started Dream Reapers at the same time. And pro haunts were, like, a new, you know, like, still a new budding thing. It wasn't a common thing. And he hired a couple of professional, like, makeup artists who had gone to school where, you know, they were doing airbrush and prosthetics and build-ups and stuff I had never seen before.
Right.
And I just watched them and I was like, I want to do that. Yeah. That looks really cool.
So you got involved in that. Now you're a legend in the field, you know, and then
you're too kind.
So did you ever do any movies? Did you ever do any like horror films, like, or is it like indie stuff or any like big budget things?
I've done a lot of film. Mostly indie, a lot of shorts. I've been subcontracted on some union production stuff, but for the most part, my love always kind of fell more into the indie genre.
Right. Well, you can get away with more shit there, right? Because you're experimenting.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, there's, you know, there's the structure is a bit looser, which I find more freeing as an artist. I'm allowed to have more creative control as opposed to just being kind of like a cog in a machine. I mean, now that said, I love working with a great department. There's few things as satisfying as having a great team that really collaborates well together. But you know, I've been fortunate enough to get to be the head of departments and key artists and things like that. So I really get to have a say and have a voice in how things look. And that's fun.
Yeah. Have you ever done any like set deck or makeup or, any of your usual things? But not in the horror genre? Like, have you done something that's just like, oh, they hired me to make a cotton dress for this person, for this period piece?
Yes. I mean, I always say that if you're going to be, like, an actual functioning artist, if you're going to be a real, legit working artist, you have to do everything.
Yeah, you got to do the cop dramas. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And I mean, like, especially as a makeup artist, if you pigeonhole and limit yourself, you will not be able to support yourself. You really need to be able to just be as multifaceted as possible. So that's really what helped me build my career, because I became known as being able to be like a one and done. You know, like when directors are working on a tight budget, as everybody in the indie world does,
yep.
If they can hire one person that can handle all of the day-to-day makeup, which, you know, usually is very boring. It's like what we call straight makeup, day makeup. Like, it's the makeup that's not supposed to look like they're wearing makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Making them camera ready, or doing, you know, or doing the beauty makeup for those scenes, or doing the mild hair needs, or helping with wardrobe stuff. The more that you can do, the more that you can offer, the more valuable you become. And if they can hire one person instead of three people, by God, they're happy to do it.
Hell yeah. Way to make yourself indispensable.
So
obviously that's like muggle work, and you have to do the boring stuff sometimes to do the fun stuff.
Yes.
So you find that you like doing the haunt live more than you like doing film, or do you have a preference, or does it matter to you? Is it just like, well, acoustic versus electric? I mean, playing the same.
I honestly can't even put them in the same category. They're so different. Haunted houses are way more akin to theater than film. The way, like, the acting styles used, the way we do the makeup, the environment, you know, there's so much improv involved. So I don't really put them in the same category. I love them both for completely different reasons. I mean, when I started doing makeup, I was 100% focused on film. Like, that's, even though I came from haunting, like, I'm a huge movie nerd, and so I wanted to learn how to do the movie magic. And I love it. I love being on set. I love that environment. I love watching the magic happen and knowing how it happens. Like, that's so cool. It's like, you know, it's like knowing, you know, like how the magician does their trick.
That's the whole reason I got the extended Lord of the Rings again, because I bought it, and then I bought it again, because I'm like, yeah, but there's gonna be like 9 discs of, like, here's how we made the movie, and I'm like, I'm gonna watch that more than the movie.
They should really set up a way that you can just buy the new features.
Yeah, like just
money grab.
What would you say is like a haunt that you've been to that you didn't work at that you thought was just like, this is what it's all about, this is the jam right here?
I have an answer to this, but at the same time, there's two shows in particular I would name, but unfortunately, because I loved both these shows so much, I made a point to go guest act for a weekend at each of them.
So. that counts. You like it so much, you bought the company. So, like, what shows?
One would be called House of Shock. It doesn't, unfortunately, it does not exist anymore. It was down in Louisiana, just a little bit outside of New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, completely not haunted Louisiana whatsoever.
It was in Meridian, Louisiana. But, you know, like just a bit outside of the New Orleans area. I mean, this show is like a legend. It is the thing that legends are made of.
Oh, no.
It was co-owned by members of the band Pantera.
What?
And a gentleman named Ross Kaplan.
Ooh.
And
I don't know why I picked Ross Kaplan. He just sounds...
He sounds dreamy.
What a dreamboat.
Honestly, very, very, very kind man. I met him at Trans World in 2002 when it was still in Chicago. The haunt that I worked for then, 11th Hour, was hosting an open house. We were running our show for patrons of Trans World to come through and see the show. And I was probably 18, I think. he was so impressed with my performance that he invited me to come out and see his show in Louisiana. So that following October, I went out there and guest acted for a weekend. I had never seen the show. I hadn't walked through it before. I only knew of it by legend. It was this massive place that had a full-on theatrical show that happened on stage before he even went in, with like pyrotechnics and jumbotrons, and like, because they would take all the old pyrotechnics from like Pantera's tours.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And like use them on stage. They had like live plants and trees growing in the building. It was wild. It was crazy.
Now you keep saying trans world, and I feel like that's not what it is.
It is like the big haunted house trade show of the year. There's a couple big ones, but it's one of the biggest ones. So it is like a buyer's show. Thousands of people come from all over the world to go to this show to see vendors and seminars and workshops and stuff like that.
And it's like for the people that run the big houses, like the Hell's Gate.
Hell's Gate, yeah.
It's like people like run that kind of stuff. The people you work for, your job.
Yeah.
They get their private stuff to do the thing.
Yeah. But it's not just for the big companies. Like it brings the big boys and the home haunters and literally everything in between. I mean, and it's a very big networking environment as well.
I assume that you are all very responsible and you go to bed at like 9 p.m. and wake up at all business.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Whatever you want to tell yourself.
I'll take that. I know you do a lot of airbrush and you love the goopy stuff. Like, what is your favorite place to play? Like, what do you like to do? Are you like big into like greenery, or are you big into like vampires? Like, what's your favorite area of the horror haunt experience to hang out in?
I mean, I was like, I always get super into doing the grimy makeups. I like to do dirty, messy, gory.
Right on.
Pretty. Which can kind of translate to a lot of different characters, because it's not like a character specific. I had a reputation for years for not doing clown makeup.
Is that like your no-go area? You're like, oh man, I can make this guy's exploding stomach and he's just gooey out of his eyes, but no clowns.
It was like literally a running joke for a long time. When I was still at Statesville Haunted Prison, they have a very big notable clown room. I'm aware
of the Statesville Haunted Prison's clown room. Go on.
I always had this stance of like, I don't do clowns. I don't do clown makeup. They're such fickle little bitches. Everything has to be so perfect.
Gotta hear that. Fuck clowns. And
yeah, so like once a year at the end of the season, I would choose one clown and I would do my one token clown of the season.
Wow. Lucky
clown. Now I'm not so biased against clown makeup, but it's also because I learned how to do like my own style of clown makeup. So
okay.
That was a little bit of personal growth there as an artist. And also accepting like being like, okay, clowns don't have to be perfect. I can make them dirty. I can make them grimy. That's okay. Like Statesville clowns were always a little bit more like pristinely pretty. So I think it just wasn't as much my vibe.
So nay on the clowns, as an actor, as a freaky person in the room, what is your favorite place to hang? Like, what is your favorite kind of character to do?
I have a couple of staple characters, my stable, as I like to call them.
Okay.
That I've been doing for years. So obviously I'm like akin to those. One of them is a nurse character, and I do love, I went through a phase of years where I really loved working in medical environments.
Oh, wow.
But I think that's also like, I have a bit of a medical history fascination, borderline fetish. so I was really into that aesthetic. My main girl, Darby, who people, I think, recognizes me very quickly because I've been playing her for years. She's very fluid and she can go just about anywhere because she's way more comedy. I love to, what we call line entertainment. It's like, those are your actors that are outside the show before you get into the show. They're the ones that are keeping you entertained while you're waiting in line for 2 hours. I love doing Darby in that environment. It's some of my most fun experiences because I just talk to people for hours and I dance.
Right. Is Darby like just, you know, what does she look like? Like, what's the vibe?
She's very ambiguous. That's why I like it so much. Like, nobody really is like, is she a zombie? No. Is she a mechanic? Possibly.
What do you, all right, I'm new to the haunt world. I've never done it. I want to get in there and get goopy. What would you say is like three good things to keep in mind?
As you were, if you were a new person coming into being like, I want to work in a haunted house. One, this is probably the biggest one. It's work. Yeah. It's fun work, but it's work. I can't tell you, like, we have like something we refer to as a dropout rate. And every show, doesn't matter what show, after opening weekend, you expect up to a 30% dropout rate. Wow. Because people come in, you know, usually like high school age kids for the most part, come in because their friends told them about it, or, you know, they came through the show before and now they're like, I want to work for it. And they realize that it's actually hard. It's not like, yeah, it's super fucking fun, but like, it's hard. It's really taxing on you physically. You know, if you're in school or you're working during the day, that means you're going and doing your daytime stuff. And then you're coming there for a 4 p.m. call time. And you may not get out of there until 11 p.m., midnight on Fridays and Saturdays, 1 a.m, you know?
Yeah, you're there, like, you're doing, like, well, because you don't really do, like, 5 or 6 shows. You're just doing a running show for a long time.
Yeah, it's a continuously running show with, you know, your groups spaced out. But, you know, show starts at 7, ticket sales may stop at 11, but that just means ticket sales stop at 11. Whoever has purchased tickets by 11 is still going to get put through the show.
Right.
So that could be, you know, getting out of there at midnight, 1 a.m, depending on how busy you are.
Okay, so it's work. What's another thing that I should be aware of?
I think it's like the biggest thing we try to tell people is like, you know, you need to be prepared for that. And if, you know, some people take to it and they love it and they're like me and they're just doing it for the rest of their life, or they're like, oh no, this is actually really hard. I don't want to do this.
I have to get up? What the fuck?
Yeah, well that, I mean, and you think like, it's very taxing for the actors. Most people don't understand how physically and mentally draining it is. The running around, if you're climbing on things, the talking, the screaming, the noises, like, you always get banged up. Like, every haunt actor is covered in bruises by the end of the season. Like, that's a given. If you're really good, you might get a concussion.
So it's work, get health insurance.
Yeah, there is no weird.
Yes, just put that on a t-shirt, hashtag.
There is no weird. I think that's another thing that people really gravitate to when they come into this community. Haunts are always like a haven for misfits. I find a lot of, especially high school age kids who come in and they're outcasts at school. Maybe they don't have a lot of friends. Maybe they're not the most popular kid. Maybe they're into like weird stuff, or maybe they have a weird appearance or something, like myself when I rolled into it, you know? That was 100% me. And all of a sudden you're in this haven for weirdos. And the weirder you are, the better.
Like I love that in life.
There is no weird. There is no such thing as too weird. And if you ever have felt like a weirdo, this is probably where you belong.
Yeah, I'll sign up for one of these COVID things over. I'll come in. I'll be like,
we'll put you to work, Chad.
Oh yeah, put me in an oven like I'm a chicken that's not dead.
I think you would be fantastic in a pop-out scare. I think you would be fantastic.
You heard it here first. Have you ever actually, now, did you create the scary? Have you ever actually like been in an actual haunting situation? Are you a believer in that world, or are you sort of a skeptic, a sciencey person?
I like to say I believe in physics, some of the laws of physics.
Which,
that's science. I believe in energy and the science of energy, and they say energy never dies; it just transfers to somewhere. So, in a sense, I do believe in the paranormal. I don't know, like, not in a religious connotation, but I believe that there is the possibility for.
Right, I would assume that like ghosts don't give a fuck about your religion. They're kind of like, oh, I'm a ghost.
You believe in what? That's silly.
Because, like, it's that line from The Shining, where it's like when somebody burns toast, they leave something behind. It's like when you, so people have that, right? I think that's cool. Like, when you walk into a room and shit went down and you didn't see it go down, but you can tell that shit went down. There's, like, a primal understanding, right?
Yeah.
If you could contact a ghost, who would you contact?
Oh, man.
Yeah, of all the fucking ghosts.
I don't know. Do we want to go a route where it's like somebody I want to ask questions, or is it somebody that I want to hang out with?
Oh, I feel like let's do questions, because obviously hangouts, I would hang out with anybody, any ghost. Like if I was just like, I don't know, who are you? And they're like, my name is Tilda and I died in 1847. I'm like, cool, Tilda, let's chill. But if I were to like into it, I would ask some like mad historical figure personally.
Yeah, well, it's like on one side of the fence, I'm like, I would love to sit in a room with David Bowie.
Oh yeah.
That would be amazing. That would be all the questions and the experience.
Ghost Bowie? That would blow my mind. That's hard to deal with.
It's like, God, I bet he's fabulous.
Yeah, he's probably just a pink, like a purple mist. Like sparkly mist.
Just beautiful as ever.
Yeah, smells great.
Yeah, smells great. Yeah, I bet his ghost aura smells like fresh baked cookies.
What would you ask Ghost Bowie about the afterlife?
Is it a thing? Who was right?
Who was right?
Did anybody get it right? Did any of them? Like Christians, Judaism, Buddhist, Islamic, like...
Who nailed it?
Pagans. Did anybody get it? Or is it just really a continuation of this life?
Yeah. I hope it's not, honestly. I hope it's something completely different, because, like, I would be bummed if you, like, blink out of existence and you wake up in a waiting room, like, on, like, in The Good Place. And I'd be like, oh, fuck, this is it? Ah, boo.
I'd be very interested to just know, like, what is it? Is it nothing? Is it everything? If it is religious, if we were all right/wrong at the same time, and, you know, what if we picked the wrong religion? Right. Was there a right one? is there some form of God? If so, are we going to go have an ice cream sundae now? Like...
So all the easy softball questions.
Yeah.
So we've contacted Ghost Bowie. We've established that Ghost Bowie is a swirling mist of fresh baked cookies.
Glorious.
Yeah, clearly, like itching to do something. Who would we have Ghost Bowie haunt?
I don't know. I feel like there's so many avenues here. Like, do I want to take a fun avenue or a slightly political avenue? Which can also be fun.
But I want Ghost
Bowie to go haunt Mike Pence.
Here you go. I feel like that's a good answer, because I was like, well, we don't want him to haunt the president, because that's kind of rude to Bowie.
But yeah. No, I feel like Ghost Bowie needs to go hauntingly seduce Mike Pence.
So Bonnie, you died. Sorry. It happens to everybody. You died.
R.I.P. Yeah.
Bummer, right? You come back as a ghost. What would you like? Because I figure if you can come back as a ghost, you can kind of choose what you're doing with your time. Like what you look like and all that. What would you do? Would you do like a Casper thing where you're like sort of see-through and a buddy? Or would you do like, I'm gonna fuck with your mind? Or would you do like a Beetlejuice thing?
Oh man. I mean, I feel like if I would be akin to any kind of ghost, it would be Beetlejuice, because I have that same terrible sense of humor. But I would also, I mean, aesthetically, I'd love to come back as like one of the ghosts from like Crimson Peak, because those ghosts are like Victorian spooky as shit.
Yeah, good call. Okay. Like a groundwalky, long fingery, creepy one.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. If I were to come back as a ghost, I would want to be just like a, I would be a talking picture.
Ooh.
Like an old painting or like a mirror ghost.
Yeah.
I'd be all in
Would you do like the face stretch out thing? Where like it looked like the face was like trying to stretch out of the canvas.
Yeah, totally. Oh my God, perfect. Okay, I would do that. I would totally haunt. Like that would be my whole thing if I could come back. I'd be like, dude, all I'm doing is haunting and just randos. I'd like make your candles blow out. I'd make your table do a little rumble. I would like knock on your door and then not be there and move shit around.
I feel like you should do a lot of ding-dong ditching.
Hell yeah. But, like, I also want to, like, get into the place and, like, move your dolls around and, like, be like, I'd be an invisible ghost and I could just be like, oh, I'm the creepy dolls walking towards you. I'm freaking out. I would have so much fucking fun. The good news is that we have all the time to do it. I think that's the thing. It's like, well, if I'm dead, then all I got is time. Then I got the time to do it.
That makes me think, rethink my Bowie haunting question, because I feel like what would be really fun if Bowie were to have fun as a ghost, it should be going back to haunt his old friend Iggy Pop.
Nice.
And just like pranking him constantly. That is a sitcom right there. I don't know if anybody PR-wise for Iggy Pop is listening right now.
Iggy and the Ghost.
I'm gonna pitch you a sitcom.
Amazon.
Ghost Bowie pranking Iggy Pop. Just the antics of two friends living in an apartment together.
One of them is a ghost. I'm all in.
One of them looks like he could be a ghost.
and that's the thing. Because like if you've got time to haunt, you've got time to prank. But you know what you all might also have time for? Might have some time for 2 minutes and 10 questions. Oh shit, you're not ready. Nobody is. Number one, what was Boone Raitt's big Halloween hit?
I don't know.
Let's give him pumpkin to talk about. Number two, why was the ghost hungover?
Booze hound?
Too much booze, 1 out of 10. Number three, what kind of street do ghosts live on?
I don't know.
Dead ends. Number four, what's a spirit's favorite carnival ride?
The Gravitron?
A roller coaster. Number five, how were the vampire puns?
Bitey?
They suck. Number six, what is a skeleton's favorite food magazine?
Good housekeeping.
Bon appetit. Number seven, how did the pumpkin's new hairdo look?
Jet.
Gorgeous. Number eight, was the spooky guy causing trouble?
He ain't afraid of no ghost?
Nope, he was just creeping it real. Number nine, what do vegan zombies eat?
Grains.
Oh, 2 out of 10. Number 10. What kind of ghosts haunt hotels?
Mermaids?
Inspectors. But 2 out of 10, you're on the board. Woo!
Oh my God. Those are good. Those are good, Chad. Those are good.
Thank you for playing. You are officially one of the four people that have made it past 1 out of 10. The record right now is 4.
Fuck yeah.
But the record is 4 right now. But
Shit.
But 2 out of 10, not bad. Ain't bad.
All right.
What's the spookiest thing you're gonna do on the night?
Of this Hallows Eve?
The Hallow Eve.
You know what? It's weird because I have not had to think about that in a very long time.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Because it's also on a Saturday and it's like a full moon.
Yeah.
And I should be out howling at the moon. I don't know. Maybe I'll go to the dog park and scare all the dogs. Kind of joking, kind of not joking about hiding in the bushes at the dog park and like jumping out and scaring people. But I live in Wrigleyville, so I might get maced.
Which is the wrong kind of scary.
Stay tuned on the old Instagram because I'm sure I'll be posting stuff.
Ghosting stuff. Posting, we hashtagged it. That means it's real.
Yes.
Special thanks to the Barracudas for their kick-ass song that's totally not scary. Promises that, you know, keeps me, that lulls me to sleep when I'm spooked, keeps me safe. Thank you to Bonnie Bones for taking some time to tell us about what's going on in her fun life and her creepy times. And we hope that, you know, she's finding the work she needs. And if you can, find her and give her, you know, throw her money. She needs it. Otherwise, she'll show up in your living room and you don't want that. And thank you to the scariest of all Besk liqueurs, Jepson's Malort, making everyone howl since the 1930s. Well, I'm already pretty jittery, so I think I'm going to call it a day on the spooky shit. But, you know, it's getting on the times. I'm gonna turn on all the lights and probably watch, like, a Rick and Morty or something. And I don't know, what the hell was that? Okay. What did I say about ghosts? What did I say? To myself, and I think I do my best to hold my hand.